It's a podcast. And now...
Welcome back to More Garbage!
Hey. Yo! Welcome back. More Garbage Podcast. All right, in the house on a Friday night for the Friday Night Compost with... Bloop! It's kind of like Fubsism, but it's like backwards, kind of. With my co-host Fubs and Steve B in the area. Isms. That's right. More Steve Garbage B-isms. Crew reunited on a Friday night. Oh, look at this camera. Yo, I just want to say.
Your Logitech, your piece is
this
trash.
This Logitech C920 stuff is so overrated. Every time it's I use trash. This thing, it's just washed. Going in and out of focus. Look at this. It's like
garbage.
I'm totally like underwater. Totally washed. But it'll snap back. Like
Logitech only make cameras to focus in on pussies. That's it. They do whole fucking games for OnlyFans. They got banned also.
Like, how close do I have to get to be in focus? This shit's wild. Anyway,
what about your privates?
It only has dick recognition. It's like, oh, that's your dick.
Right in the focus.
It's like we got you, buddy. We got you.
What, your face? Who does that? What kind of shit is this, you subverse bastard?
Awesome.
some real weird shit. You send somebody a picture of you smiling? That's some really weird shit.
Like, what if I just do that?
It's the new Logitech with automatic genital recognition.
Oh, we know what you are. Thanks. We sent that information to Big Brother.
Well, we'll deal with it and we'll hope it works out. But tonight we are talking about Friday night. Ain't a damn thing funny. Bit better have my money. Yep. As we know, or maybe... we don't know, so let us bring it up on the screen. Dun, dun, dun. Look at this monster chart over here. Look at this monster over here. Holy cow. All right, my friend. Well, let's do a quick analysis. Right down here, we got the dates, right? 20. Right here. 19. Right here. And what does that 19 symbolize? Well, that's 2 days ago. Psych. Yesterday, we were at 44,000. Holy shit. August 19th, we were at 44,000. And now, on the cusp of the 20th and the 21st, Friday night, we are knock, knock, knocking on 50K's door. Look at that. 50K is right here. Let's give it a little boom. Right here, heaven's door. And we're knocking on that thing. All right.
Are we gonna bring up what you said a couple weeks back?
Oh, you want me to?
Are we gonna talk about it? Are we close? Are we out here? When
I accidentally predict
when you played predicted the market, the all-time high, he was everybody's George.
Oh man, wait, I will, you know what, I will bring that up, but should I really do that now? I could probably just bring up that clip and play it.
You have it.
Let me see. We haven't actually used that feature, so let me go ahead.
Who knew we had features?
Yeah, let me go ahead and dig that up. It should only take a second.
We're going to just cut to Kathy Griffin. We have her standing by.
Standing by. Katie Couric on the scene.
Okay, so first we'll start with this one. The 20th, 2020. From here, I mean, look at this crazy dance. Oh my God, no. Oh, we're coming near. Here we go, near.
You know what you're doing right now.
What? So That was a good one, but that same stream, that was my very technical analysis.
Steve was like, what the fuck is going on?
But that was also the day that we realized I predicted the return of the all-time down,
but it's still kind of all between here and here,
right? Now, things are just going into unexplored territory. Look at all this empty space right here. It's like we're in outer space. Oh, and here we make contact with all-time high. Oh, is that what we just pointed out? We just predicted it right here. What's that date? September 6th? Something good's happening September 6th.
Oh, shit. He just called it.
Our sources.
Holy shit.
Something the universe just pulled us to that spot. It was like a Ouija board. My mouse was just a Ouija. It was just moving by itself, and that's where it ended up. So, we're back to all-time high September 6th. Wow.
There it is.
There you go. That's how we do. Hey, come on, man. Respect it.
I do. I mean, you made some money, right?
Respect the analysis, bruh.
Yeah, it's
congratulations to anyone that saw that the price crashed to like, you know, 29K 2-3 months ago and was like, oh, cool. Because think about it, 29K to 49K is getting close to a double. Meanwhile, we're not back to the all-time high.
Uh-oh.
Okay? So things are going to be moving, my man. Things are going to be moving. And that's why tonight,
be happy.
We're talking about Bit Better Have My Money. And what we're going to do, kind of a casual perusal of crypto journalism.
New words.
Okay?
2021 perusals.
Yeah, we're going to do a casual perusal because, you know, a lot of people don't really know where to go to follow the news on crypto-related events.
You better keep it casual.
Let's keep it casual, all right? Now, I think this is a man we all know and love, all right? So, American rapper Busta Rhymes confirms he holds Bitcoin and looking to get paid in BTC.
That's just happy Bitcoin face.
So pretty much what happened is Busta was getting bit curious. Okay. And he was asking people on Twitter, like, yo, like, what's the deal with this Bitcoin shit? And everyone was responding, trying to school him, throwing coins at him, like, yo, this one, that one. And he started doing his due diligence when Elon Musk, oh, damn.
It's still summer, folks, in New York.
Damn, Shorty got the bass in the back. Okay, so
still Brooklyn player. What? Other side.
So Elon Musk and Michael Saylor, MicroStrategy, which is possibly the largest holder of Bitcoin in the world. We don't know for sure, but
we don't know who
they got like anymore. A billion and a half or some. They might even have more like dollars worth of Bitcoins. It's bananas. Michael Saylor is one of the biggest Bitcoin maximalists out there. But both of them responded to, that's usually the term for someone that's like all in on Bitcoin.
I get it.
They're like, crypto? No, Bitcoin. You know, they're just all about Bitcoin. That's what they're about. So both of them had responded to Busta on Twitter, and they were trying to school him a little. And part of what Michael Saylor does is he tries to provide free education. He's really into providing education to people. And his website, if you do some Googling on Michael Saylor or MicroStrategy, you will find that he has all these free classes, and it's, you know, He's on a mission to educate people. So they reached out to Buster. Yeah. They
reached YLOR. I'll put some links up.
So they were like, yo, Buster, you know, you want to learn about Bitcoin? Check out my free classes on the site. And apparently he did the knowledge. And right here it says that Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey pointed the rapper to a website featuring a black host. And then Michael Saylor pointed him to his own information hub, Bitcoin is Hope. All right. So you guys want to learn a little about the space, about the technology behind the world's new gold standard.
Michael Saylor check out owns Bitcoin is Hope. Michael Saylor owns MicroStrategy holds an aggregate of approximately 105,000 bitcoins.
105,000. Okay.
It's so approximately $2.7 billion. That was at 26,000 a coin. So you're talking about,
So you're talking about double that. So you're talking about like $5 billion worth of Bitcoin. Okay. Can you imagine how paid they're going to be when it doubles again? Can you imagine how paid Busta Rhymes is going to be? Because you know what? Busta Rhymes? Wait a second. Motherfucker's rich.
That number's okay? $5 billion right now.
That's what I just said. He's got $5 billion
worth. I just was like, holy shit. Fuck
yeah.
My life.
Yeah. And you know what?
How much really of that is taxed when you cash it out?
Okay. Depends so, where you are. So some interesting points to be made. When you buy
a fair amount
and you don't do anything else with it, you just bought.
You hodl.
That's not a taxable event.
No.
Right? When you convert Bitcoin into another crypto, that's a taxable event. When you sell Bitcoin, that's a taxable event. When you buy something with Bitcoin, cup of coffee, that's a taxable event. Okay? It's pretty much anything you do with it after you buy is a taxable event.
Because because it's like anything, like it's turning into a different like currency. You're turning it back to American money. So if you bring any money in the country, you have to claim it.
But if you hold it for over a year, the capital gains tax will go down dramatically. Just right, like you're not stocks. Flipping it.
Because you're not flipping it. That's it. So basically, if somebody comes in with millions and millions of dollars. And they come in on like a hedge fund and they say, oh, we're going to get in and right now. We're going to get in 2 weeks ago. We're going to put a bunch of money in. Right now, we're going to take all that money out. We're going to double our money. Well, yeah, the government's like, well, we want a third of that money. We want 40% of that money. Whatever. Like, we see what you're doing and we want more.
So what a lot of these guys do, like, let's say someone like Michael Saylor, let's say he would buy Bitcoin, he would hold Bitcoin, and then he wouldn't ever cash out of Bitcoin. He would take a loan using the Bitcoin as collateral because that is not a taxable event, right? Or you pay much less on a loan than you would on a capital gains.
The business
basically
move.
What it comes
it's
down
really
to
smart business
so move. Yeah so people know that have big money they just take loans.
Yeah, they have so there's so much backing it, but like that's the thing, once you get to a certain amount of assets, people are glad to do whatever for you. They say it's like people that are the richest get the most free shit, like that kind of thing, you know, like mm-hmm. Yeah, like if you're trying to get up and do shit, people are like, no, you're a liability. So, more hurdles, bitch.
So there was an online event called the B Word, right? With Kathy Wood, Elon Musk, Jack Dorsey. There were some other people involved too, but it was basically all about the. Yeah, I watched the whole thing. It was a few weeks back, and it was basically just a convo between the three of them, about Bitcoin. And it was interesting.
It was like a town hall style.
They weren't all in the same room. It was online.
Got it.
But So like a couple of interesting things were revealed by Elon Musk specifically, because, you know, he started the whole like ESG FUD about how much electricity it takes for the blockchain to run and be verified. And
well, explain to Steve what FUD is.
Proof of work. FUD is fear, uncertainty, doubt. Okay. Fear, uncertainty, doubt. And even though miners, over 50% of miners use renewable sources of energy for mining Bitcoin, there's still, you know, a lot of FUD about the electricity that's used, wasted, harmful to the planet, etc. Michael Saylor was involved in putting together kind of like, I forget what they call it. It's like a Bitcoin council where the big holders, miners, they have a transparency about the vision for Bitcoin and its future. And that transparency opens up like their energy sources that they're using. And it turned out at least 56% of all Bitcoin miners are using renewable energy, renewable sources. And that's like, you know, hydropower and wind, solar power. Anyway, so Elon Musk said that was great. He still felt like it was not enough to, he said, it sounds like 2/3 of the needs are basically taken care of in that way. But he feels like another renewable source is needed. And he was recommending something like nuclear energy, which he said was a lot safer than people realize. He was like, nuclear energy is pretty safe. And he started talking about the difference between fusion and fission. And he's like, you know what I mean? And everyone's like,
What about like the all every like, you know, 50 years, there's a nuclear moment, right? Nuclear fucking overflow, Chernobyl, Fukushima,
I'm no nuclear physicist, expert.
I'm not either, but I'm just talking about like you can't even go to Chernobyl.
But Elon did say that these numbers made it possible for Bitcoin payments to Tesla for cars possible once again. He said they will open that back up soon, which he had halted.
Yeah, he was talking about that. I remember that.
He had halted that, and that caused, I think, a lot of downward movement on the price. Another thing he said that was interesting, Elon, was that he said that he personally owns Bitcoin and Ethereum and Dogecoin, and he holds a lot more Bitcoin than the others, which, you know, no one knew before. And he also said that not just Tesla, but SpaceX also holds a considerable amount of Bitcoin as a store of value.
Well, so, I think at the end of the day, like, he is a really interesting character in the sense where he's, you know, we explained volatility last week in part of that graph that we were showing, that this is volatility. And he literally is on the finger of volatility. Like he is responsible for half the volatility that happens in this entire crypto market. You know, if Bitcoin is the main ebb and flow and everything kind of mimics it to a degree, most things do. And he's the guy that can say, you know what? We're going to be a big adopter. And all the tech people are like, yeah, we're getting behind it. Then he's like, yeah, not sure. And they're all like, I don't know about this. I'm out. You know, this is a weird time to be alive in terms of that. Like, you know, it's like Drake's making you buy Nikes and Elon Musk is making people fucking ebb and flow altcoin. Like,
it's not about anything else anymore. Busta Rhymes.
Influence. There it is. Another
guy. He's like, you got me. I'm all about it. And as you can see from this tweet, August 19th, he said, good morning, thinking about getting payment in Bitcoin for shows and future business dealings. Should be easier to do, right?
Should we now, care if Busta Rhymes is getting fucking paid in Bitcoin?
Like, well, this is a trend now. This is a trend with NBA players, soccer players, NFL players.
I get it, because they're so rich. They're like, go ahead, give me Bitcoin.
Because they know the value of the dollar just goes down all the time, right?
Oh, yeah, whereas I get it.
The price of Bitcoin just goes up.
Sometimes.
So it's like, well, it is sometimes, but if you step back and you look at the big picture, yes, it's volatile. It goes up and down. So maybe if you need to cash out at a specific moment real quick, depends where the market's at. But if you look over time, it's just going like this. It just keeps going up. It's higher lows and higher highs.
But what this is proving to me again is that, like, we literally are like, like, our biggest endorsers right now, you know, it's like we're talking about Busta Rhymes and if he's what his financial choice is. Like, that's a weird conversation.
We're talking about influencers,
That's right. Like, you know, at what point does it, like, is that important? Like,
see, look at this. He bought in. It's obviously important because he watched Elon, Jack, and Kathy on the live video, bought in that day, and so grateful I did. Because why? Because that shit is up. Because whatever he put in, Busta didn't put in $500.
No.
How much do we think Busta put in?
100 racks.
Maybe. Like 100K, you think?
Five figure? Six figure?
I'd say minimum five figure. Yeah, minimum. And if he really understood it, he might have thrown a six figure
Bust,
in there.
Busta's no dummy. And I think that and a guy like that, for sure, when he gambles, he gambles. And he gambles. He, you know what I mean? Like a guy, like in general, to be around that long, you're a gambler. That's real, right? And so I think that I mean, listen, we're talking fucking right now. Like, we're literally talking about bullshit.
Yeah, but total speculation, just like
the market. I think he threw in I think he was like gonna go balls deep, is my opinion.
But him being an influence, doesn't that kind of, isn't that really good for Bitcoin overall? When somebody sees somebody with that caliber of celebrity, it's just going to make shit skyrocket, right?
Especially in a certain...
It's nothing but this kind of news from any influencers and celebrities. Maybe financial influencers. That's it's the question. Opposite.
Yeah.
There's that's a lot of opposite with that. There was a lot of people predicting a big downward movement early in the year, like in January.
Yeah, because their money's then the right
shit doubled. Exactly. And then the shit doubled, and they were like, let's go back to the chart. Ooh.
Their money's tied up in this.
100%.
Props. Little props.
Look at that. Holding at 49 right now. Look at that. Started the sideward movement, right? You see, like, your sideward movement, boof, sideward movement.
Listen, this guy right here, he's a cryptographer.
So check it out. I don't know if you know or not, but TikTok had banned people shilling crypto and talking about crypto not long ago. And that's why some people stopped doing like, this their isn't TikTok fun. Pages. Yeah, they're like, oh, well, I don't want to get shut down. Like, so what, I'm you just don't not going to be doing this anymore. Out of here. Right?
You can't dance. You don't want to talk.
But now, just on August 16th, right here on this date, TikTok partnered with Audius. And Audius, they're basically like a mini Spotify. Okay. They're decentralized music streaming or crypto powered music streaming. And they already have like over 3 million users. They have like a lot of users. Okay. Audius co-founder, chief product officer, says roughly 95% of users have no idea that blockchain is even involved. Oh, we lost Fubs for a minute. He'll be right back, I'm sure. There he is. Yeah. Let me scroll down to him. There we go. He's back. There we go.
Bad.
So he said that they have no idea the blockchain's even involved. They're not about being Mr. Crypto. They're just about this good tech.
Spotify has 365 million users. Continue.
And let's see. Audius user base. Right? 3 million active users. That's what I thought in March. Okay. So yeah, that's why I said mini, right? Mini. I didn't say a competitor. I said mini. It's a mini Spotify. Yeah. But I'm sorry, 3 million is significant, okay? That people are actually using it. But now that they partnered with TikTok, that means people that have their stuff up on Audius can now have their stuff on TikTok. And if you know how TikTok works, like, you pick from their music library and you have a much higher chance of going viral that way. Right. And people remixing each other's videos. It's like the ultimate aggregate. So partnered with TikTok in the creation of a new feature called TikTok Sounds. Okay. Cool. The integration will allow users to export songs created with the protocol to TikTok with one click. Okay? So you make your music, you have it on Audius, and it can be deployed to TikTok with one click. Now, that is dope. All right? Approaching 1 billion monthly active users, TikTok reported in July, 75% of its user base in the U.S., discover new artists through the app. So now Audius has roughly 5 million active users. Here we go. Okay. So it was 3, now it's 5. It does not currently allow users to receive performance royalties from streaming music, but instead offers opportunities for exposure and engagement with fans. And that's why it's kind of a surprise that they banned crypto and now they are partnering
on purpose they wanted to ban it, but what they ended up doing is selling the rights to it to this. They probably got a bunch of fucking money.
Well, dude, it's just like with
Audius
Audius. If you look up like Audius streaming or whatever, you'll find it. So it's just like with a lot of these big financial investors that are like, oh no, that shit's whack, that shit's dangerous.
Eventually tied up in something else.
Eventually they have to change their tune to, okay, our clients want exposure.
Yeah.
You know, they're not saying like, we're all in, we love it. They're like, okay, well, our clients want exposure and we want their money. So I guess we're going to go ahead and try to set up ETF funds now for Bitcoin, which a number of investment firms trying to set up ETFs, where what happens is they buy the Bitcoin themselves, and then investors buy into the fund. So they don't actually own the Bitcoin themselves. They just can profit from it when they're allowed to take their money back out. Like, I think every 6 months it opens up and you can either take it out or leave it back in, for example. Which I guess that could be cool because you can sometimes get like a prorated kind of price. Like, they give you a discount on what the actual Bitcoin price is at the time because they're betting that it's going to go up. You know, they bought all their shit at a certain price. And then you're buying in at some point at another price, right? But they keep holding that. And people are like, well, what happens when people want to cash out? Well, nothing happens because the firm is just going to hold it regardless because it's a long-term investment for them. They're just letting their customers have exposure to it and profiting on that in the meantime.
Yeah, like I was just reading on that site, one of those sites, about that Missouri mayor of Cool Valley. He wants to give every one of his the people that live in his town.
Oh yeah, yeah.
$1,000 in Bitcoin.
I got that.
But he wants it. But it's like he wants them to hold it for 5 years or something like that.
Where it's interesting is that article?
In the weird time we live in.
Here we go. Let's bring that on the screen. I knew I had that one. Bitcoin for everyone. Missouri mayor wants to give each resident $1,000 in crypto. Cool Valley. Mayor John Stewart. Cool he's Valley. So cool. He's too cool for the Valley. But he's raising cool funds Valley, to give Missouri, each resident Missouri. Up to $1,000 in Bitcoin. The only catch, they can't sell it.
You, Cool Valley?
So it sounds funny style, but anything that will get someone $1,000 in free Bitcoin, like, yeah.
I mean, that's outside of St. Louis. We all know yeah. where we're talking
about. Go ahead. Don't sell it. Sit on it. Sure. You know? And it's making reference here to El Salvador, which, Steve, did you hear that news? That came out a couple of months back, that El Salvador is adopting Bitcoin as its legal tender. That's pretty big. No. And that goes into effect, like, soon. They got ATMs popping all over the place. In fact, there are a lot of Bitcoin ATMs in the U.S. now. There used to be, like, 1,000, and now there's, like, 10,000s. There's, like, 40,000 of them or some crazy number, which, of course, I'm sure we'll verify that and find that's tripled since I read about it. I have friends whose lives have been completely changed, says the mayor. Like going from work, a regular 9-to-5, to being worth over $80 million in a matter of a few years. Yeah, so he's pretty much like, I want all the Cool Valley residents to have exposure. It's all about exposure, right? Now, this was pretty deep to me. Look at this graphic, even.
It completely negates the need for violence.
It's by incentivizing trade and peaceful cooperation.
Wow, that is some real wild hippie fucking op-ed right there. Have you not seen what's going on? We'll never have like some sort of peace thing.
It's an interesting article. I'm gonna share that.
I didn't read that.
Oh, one. Who do we got? We got Nick Gold in the chat.
Nick,
don't get me started about Logitech.
Peace to Nick.
Word, good call on that.
Yo, Nick.
But he said seems about right. El Salvador would make their currency a literal pyramid scheme. well, no, the deal with El Salvador is obviously the inflation is crazy, right? And their stable money is not so stable. You know,
they're like that volatile Bitcoin central bank is so much better than this pirate run currency. Let's get
it. They're central bank backed money. Is not
pretty stable. Much some like A-team villain dictator.
And listen, there once they did it, a number of other countries like Venezuela, Paraguay, Brazil, they're all looking into it. And none of them said they would outright make it legal tender, but they're incorporating it into their financial system like in a mainstream way.
I'm curious if countries that are indebted to other countries, I wonder how many will follow suit with countries like El Salvador, like cities like the one you suggest, Missouri. How many of those countries, and I'm talking like islands that are just like the byproducts of colonialism that can't really become any sort of power, they'll still remain third world countries because they can't get out of debt to that, you know.
Okay, so
that founding country. So, how many of those guys can actually buy into that blueprint, you know, and start following that?
El Salvador is giving out Bitcoin something like $30 in Bitcoin to all citizens, and there are ways. For example, I don't know if you heard of Axie's Infinity. It's a video game that runs on that's powered by cryptos and blockchain, and you play to earn is the model. So as you build up a character and you breed these characters, and there's a marketplace where you could flip these characters, you also earn crypto as you build up, and you can cash out. And a lot of people in third world countries have been using this now as a stream of income during lockdown and COVID.
What's the exchange?
It depends. It depends on the token. Now, you want to see something fun? Watch this. Let's go back in here. Right?
We need some drum rolls. We need a little bit of
let's go in here. And let's look up
Kenny G.
Special effects or something.
This is like, this is where he becomes Bobby Fischer. Watch him go.
Axie Infinity. Okay. Let's take a look at the day by day chart, right? Let's bring this down to earth a little. Oof, you see this green line? Holy cow. All right. So this, you can't even see the bottom. Look at this. All right. So this is June at $4 per coin, right? June. Mm-hmm. Where's June? Right here. June. Then you have July. Right here. Still about $4, right? Then all of a sudden you got a pump right here. And you're like, whoa, that's significant. That's $4 to $76 in July in a matter of 2 weeks, let's say. Okay? Now, can you do that math from $4 to 76? How many times did that just multiply? Like 20? Okay? Now, people are like, oh, that was too hot. It's going to come down. It's going to cool off. Look at this next 3 days. That's 1 day, 2 days, and 3 days after that dip, it's up at 42. Okay. Oh, this isn't 76 here. This is 23. Sorry. So from here, $4 to up here is 76. So it did it 20 times. A 20x from July to August. 20 times. All right. Here it went from 4 up to 24. Okay. Which is still significant, right? That's a 6x. Cooled off. And then it went from 14 to 41 in 3 days. 14 to 41. Okay. Anyway, long story short is they're sitting pretty at 76 right now. Okay. $76. So that's the exchange rate. Is one coin is now worth $76. It's dramatic. And people like me, for example, around here, around 25, I was going, damn, man, I knew about this project like months and months ago. I knew I should have bought in. I knew, you know, like like they run on I believe on Wax, and Wax is really popular. It's another
it's
one
Wax
going up. So wait, hold up. So people that were playing this game and earning tokens, right? They've 20x'd since July. And if you're talking about people in third world countries that are using this for income, they're caking. They are caking off playing video games. And it's showing everyone now that play to earn is the new model. Because why are you going to sink hundreds and hundreds of hours into a video game that gives you nothing except high score on the leaderboard when you can be paid to support an ecosystem? Okay, because the more people are in the game, like think Ready Player One, the more people that are in the game, the better the game is.
Theoretically, you know? Until it like, all crumbles. Don't read the second part if you want to hear about what happens.
So you're supporting that ecosystem by playing that game, just being on there. And then that's supporting a whole new, second layer life to NFTs, because people can buy NFTs that they use in game. Like you can buy a sword and use it in one game, and then there are games being created now where you can take those items and bring them into another game. You can have the same outfit on in every game you play. You know, that it, the games that are built this way, that are compatible. You could be like, you show up and they're like, oh, it's that guy. Because, you know, you're the only one with that, whatever, Akira motorcycle or whatever it is, right? So Axie's Infinity was the first, but there's going to be a lot of play to earn games.
Do you play? Are you a fan?
I don't. I've taken a look at it, and I wanted to get in and start playing, and Max wants to jump in there and play. He's like, I want to make some money. but it is a little, it's not complicated, but it's a little convoluted. Like you got to set up your MetaMask wallet.
Sounds like it.
In order to be able to earn crypto, you got to be able to store it somewhere, right? So you got to set up a crypto wallet, right? And then you got to have some kind of token to buy in, right? And then if you want to cash out, like how do you cash out? Then, you know, you got to use either like a DEX, like a decentralized exchange, or bring it onto a market and sell it for, you know, USD or USDT or whatever the hell you want to sell it for. So yeah, look at this, Nick Gold, total in-game economic heist kind of action. So what I'm hearing is every video game will have its own cryptocurrency in 3 years. Noted.
It started there though. Started there and it's going kind of backwards. Like, you know what
I
mean?
Why not?
It started in game and then it became like, oh, real money, and now it's going back in game. Like it's all one kind of breathing action. We just are putting it on the blockchain at this point, right?
So that was another.
They're aggregating all of our old timey dead, like, you know, video games and everything, and just going to give it all the idiocracy effect, like straight up.
How about this one? U.S. government now offers informants crypto rewards in addition to bank wires and suitcases full of cash. So, funny thing is. Funny thing is, you know, a lot of people think like, oh, hey, Bitcoin, yeah, that's used for all that illegal activity on the web. Whereas actually,
yeah,
it was recently a monster hack,
pirate assassin,
for like $600 million. Okay, and they were able to find that person immediately because the way Bitcoin moves. It's all on a blockchain.
It's on blockchain.
As soon as someone brings it on an exchange and tries to sell it, it's like, boom, there it is. There it is. And they can lock it down.
Swap team at your house, man.
So that person had to return all of that money, $600 million, whether it was one person or group of people or whatever it is.
This is crazy.
So it's stupid. If it was cash, they wouldn't be able to do that, right? I guess there's some ways to track a serial number of a dollar, but like, how often does that really happen? You know, like, and at what point? You know, you spend money here, you spend money there. Eventually, it ends up in like a bank, maybe. Like, when does that serial get checked? So it's really a lot more on the low to use cash. And that's why a lot of people also fear crypto, because they think quite the opposite of of the FUD narrative, they think like, yo, then the government's going to know every cent you spend and where it's going. But when you have it in your own wallet, there's no way they can take it from you. It's not like you owe taxes and they're taking your...
They can't seize it, that's for sure.
They can seize it if you have it on a centralized exchange. Like, for example, if you're on Coinbase, because Coinbase is a U.S.-based company, right? And if they have to comply with the IRS, then, you know, it's a different story.
Did you see about the guy...
But if it's an exchange that's based in another country, like Singapore, the IRS can contact them and they can be like, yeah, whatever, you know? Only if KuCoin... For example, they operate in Singapore. Only if they wanted to be
elk meat all time high.
Yeah, 6th. big elk meat coming. Big elk meat coming. For example, okay. Binance is the biggest exchange in the world, okay, by far. They can't operate in the US. But they're trying now to bring in a lot of former, a lot of people that used to work in regulation and compliance.
Smart.
Because
they're
trying to do the right thing to keep spreading. For example, they used to have no, what do they call it? Like a country of operation. Like they didn't have a native home. They said they were decentralized. They didn't operate in any one country. They didn't have a home base.
That's some real board shit. That's some like wherever.
And that was fine for a while until a few countries were like, all right, you know what? Enough's enough. You can't operate here. So they started trying to comply with some shit. And they're adding some KYC, which stands for Know Your Customer. And what a lot of people liked about crypto in the first place was that there was no KYC, right? That was the secret element. Not, you couldn't hide the money moving around, but maybe you could hide whose wallet that is, right? But if they have a Know Your Customer policy, KYC, like pretty much every US exchange has, then you're allowed to operate, because then eventually you get taxed. And once they get the taxes figured out for crypto, that's when super mainstream adoption comes. Because right now, there's mainstream adoption by, like, let's say, financial institutions, right? Because someone like Citibank sees that, you know, Joe Schmo is withdrawing $500 a month to Coinbase. And they're like, shit, man. Like, that money's going to other money that will not get stored here. You know what? We got to start letting them store with us. And boom. All these banks that before were trying to freeze people's accounts because they were buying crypto, now they're telling them, oh, if you want to buy crypto, you can buy it from us and we can even store it for you. We can be your custodian, because now they see the value. They're like, "Oh, we want to stay in the store value game. We want to keep holding people's money and then giving other people's loans based on their money. We want to keep making $100 into $1 million by like making a loan on a loan on a loan on a loan on a loan, you know." So that's why all the big banks are adopting that shit. And funny thing is, when you calculate how much money is invested in something like Ethereum or Bitcoin, they're already the biggest banks in the world.
Mind blown. And biggest banks in the world. The volatile
Coinbase
bank
came out with its quarterly earnings last week, and it made something like, I think it was like $1.27 billion for the quarter.
You know, like,
and
the bank
operating
teller,
costs were like $80 million or something.
And the bank teller is like the guitar player on Fury Road. Like, that's literally like where we're at. Like, that's how volatile shit is. Like, we'll charge your money. Like, oh, I don't know. War boys.
Yeah, look, so headlines like this, authorities seizing crypto assets, that's going to be more and more commonplace because they're realizing, oh, we can track all of these movements. Like, sure, your Bitcoin is safe in your wallet, but you're going to try to turn it into cash at some point if you want to be able to, you know, move around and use it stealthily. Because again, cash is really the stealthy option, right? But when you try to turn it into cash, it's like everyone sees where you are. Now.
Before time runs out, I'm the dumb guy here. If I safely take a grand and stick it into this thing,
hodl it.
What happens next?
Well, first thing is, you wouldn't stick it all into one thing, okay? You want to like
do an ETF?
No. You buy it yourself, and this is just like advice from someone that, you know, doesn't know what they're talking about, because we're not financial advisors.
You're not a financial advisor.
Don't listen to us. We're just idiots.
Yeah, we're basically figuring it out as we go along, and we don't claim to be any smarter than anyone else. We're just reading a lot of stuff.
For anything court-related, we're idiots.
And as you can see, we're reading it together. So we're discovering
together. Well, these guys said, they also said they were idiots. See?
But I would imagine that if I were to invest $1,000 right now, it would go into like four directions, not one. Because you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, because something like Bitcoin would be the safest, but it might not move as exponentially for shorter periods of time. Right? So Bitcoin, Ethereum, these three, like these two are the safe ones. And then Dogecoin is kind of like a wild card.
That's your ballsy. That's your ballsy shit.
Which that one is a straight up meme coin that a lot of people poop on. But at the same time, it's the one most held by celebrities and TikTokers and, you know, people that are like, yo, the money of the people, man. We can do this. It has value because we say it has value.
It's the African medallion of Bitcoin, of crypto, if you may.
Look at this. Second largest U.S. mortgage lender will accept payment in Bitcoin.
They're like, we'll take any of your fucking money.
Nope.
Shit.
Nope. You don't have to default. Just give us
Bitcoin. We were talking about what they're doing. The hedge funds are buying up because the financial markets are so volatile. They're buying up, you know, small markets, real estate. And they're just holding it to double their money. I don't even care if people fucking live there. So they're forcing people not to be able to buy homes in small markets where you're supposed to be able to buy homes at a reasonable rate. You're not going to be able to anymore.
Look at that.
Because there it is. Damn. They're like, well, we will take that for us. Like, where are you physically take? What a weird picture to something. How are you physically seizing that?
So what's going on over here on the sidebar, you see this headline: Coinbase to invest $500 million in crypto to add to the firm's balance sheet. 10% of profits to be invested in crypto. So they are just about to throw $500 million more.
What's their stock price look like right now?
The market, the crypto market.
What's that Coinbase stock price look like?
It should have gone up a bit today. Because Bitcoin was pumping. Let's see. Coinbase stock price.
Did not.
Eh.
A little bit.
I mean, it was as low as like 210. So it's starting true to come back. And listen, it will, because they got a lot going on.
They got a whole bunch of shit happening.
They got a lot going on. So don't sleep on Coinbase. Coinbase don't sleep on nothing. In effect mode.
Don't sleep on Jersey. Sleep on
time base can be in effect mode.
Oh, so here we go. We're back on the graph. We need to get you one of those things where you could like touch it and like.
So like John King.
We're here.
It's Friday night, and bit better have my money. You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. And it does. And it does, and more. It has that and more.
And more. Free Happy Meals for all kids.
It has that and more. And, you know, someone whose advice I trust said,
George,
you do not invest. I am George. You do not invest more than you have. You do not take a loan to invest in crypto. You put it on your credit card, you know. But if you want to
don't gamble start
a little savings account, yeah, but if you want to start saving, that is a good place to start saving. Because that appreciation is much more than
and you won't touch it.
Savings,
if you really like on some, like, I'm going to save it. Because, like, it's one thing to put some shit in a savings account. This every time you take it out, you get taxed. You're not going to fucking take it out. You're just going to leave it there.
Right.
That's some real shit.
Right.
Well, my friends, that was a lot of Bitcoin.
56 elk meat minutes.
Yeah, that was a lot of Bitcoin for a bunch of dudes.
Non-Bitcoiners.
Used to talking trash. Used to doing the compost. Used to crunching the recyclables on a Sunday. More Garbage Podcast, Friday Night Compost. They better have my money. We'll September be back 6th. On Sunday. Sunday Crunch. Yo, respect my co-host Steve B. Respect my co-host Fubs. Any passing thoughts on the way out? That's it. That's all.
Lots of
we out. Peace.